In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. In the last 18 months or so, I've preached 3 or 4 times, and I kid you not, every gospel has been about casting out demons. When Brian was working on the preaching schedule and asked me to preach on this particular Sunday, I said a quiet prayer, "Lord, please don't make me cast out any more demons." And when I looked at the lectionary for today, I kind of chuckled. I don't have to cast out demons, but I do get to talk about manure. And I love that God has a sense of humor. In today's parable, we encounter a landowner who has run out of patience. For 3 years, he's been looking for fruit on his fig trees, only to find none. At the end of his rope, he demands his gardener to cut it down. Why should it be wasting soil? Fruit trees take a long time to grow and produce little to no edible fruit in the first 3 years. This ties in directly with Leviticus 19, verses 23 through 25, which state, "When you enter the land and plant any kind of fruit tree, regard its fruit as forbidden. For 3 years you are to consider it forbidden. It must not be eaten. In the fourth year, all of its fruit will be holy, an offering of praise to the Lord. But in the fifth year, you may eat its fruit. In this way, your harvest will be increased." Leviticus, the book of the Bible with instructions for social and religious life, calls for 3 years of patience when it comes to fruit trees. The gardener knew that. The gardener knew the cycle of the fruit tree. The first year is to sleep, the second year to creep, and the third year to leap. He was asking the landowner for a little more time in that middle season while he tended to its growth with care. He was hopeful the tree's slow growth would lead to sweet fruit. How often do we lose patience with our own cycles of life, not tending to our own growth with care? In everything, there is a time of abundance and a time of scarcity. I often think of life as the rhythm of breath. Our breathing increases while exercising, and we take slow, steady breaths to recover. We know both are necessary for our overall health of our bodies. We often pay less attention to the health of our spiritual and emotional selves. Our type A Western culture wants it all the time. We crave to live with constant abundance, fulfillment, and happiness. Somehow, hyperventilating through life has become more desirable than recovering with a slow, steady breath. My grandfather was a banker for his career, but in his retirement, he became an avid gardener. He would wake up early before the hot Florida sun flared his emphysema, and he worked his land. He had plum, orange, grapefruit, and lemon trees in the backyard. In the front yard was a calamondin tree, and I've never seen one since, but it's a tangerine-type fruit that is the most sour thing you have ever tasted in your life. Calamondin's not only made for a great practical joke for unsuspecting South Carolina cousins, but also delicious homemade marmalade, a secret recipe of my grandmother. In the side yard was a grape arbor and large garden overflowing with tomatoes, eggplant, summer squash, okra, radishes, and every kind of pepper you can imagine. The spicier the pepper, the better, in his opinion. The landscape was lush and colorful. My grandfather was not a patient man. His quick temper, often fueled by too much vodka, kept everyone in the family on eggshells. But in his garden, He was tender, patient, and caring. He made his own compost, and when it was rich in color and ripe with odor, he would fold it into the sandy soil. He would purchase and spread manure to fertilize the plants, all the while strategizing the perfect way to rid his harvest of insects and nematodes. My grandfather was proud of the plot of land he had worked his entire life to afford. He could escape from his depression, or melancholia, as it was referred to by my grandmother, and literally taste the fruits of his labor. The garden was his sanctuary. Rest, sanctuary, recovery, filling your cup, whatever you want to call it, is imperative for growth. Some of us practice this on a daily basis through mindfulness or meditation. Others of us practice this on the river with a fly rod in hand. Some of us dig in the dirt and lovingly tend to seedlings. Others of us curl up on the couch and get lost in a good novel. During those times of rest, we can listen for God's still, small voice. We can slow our breath and lovingly nurture the new growth happening deep down in our spirits. Society has a few terms for these types of nurture: selfish, lazy, unproductive. Oftentimes, society's voice is much louder than God's, a megaphone versus a whisper. Yet when we live in that high-speed mode for so long, we can sometimes cut down the tree before it bears fruit, cheating God of his bounty in our lives. I used to ask the children, when you pray and then are constantly busy with school, soccer, band, dance, homework, video games, and play dates, when do you hear God's response? We need to carve out times in our lives when we can listen, calm our souls, and slow our breathing. Motivational speaker Greg McKeon asks, what if we stopped celebrating being busy as a measure of importance? What if instead we celebrated how much time we had spent listening, pondering, meditating, and enjoying time with the most important people in our lives? What would happen if every person in this room stopped being busy? Imagine a world where spending time together was celebrated as much as running errands. I'll try not to get teary while I share this, but last week we had to put our 12 and a half year old lab to sleep. We got Powder from the animal shelter when she was a year old, and we hit the jackpot when she joined our family. The boys were 7 and 9, and our other lab, Bama, was a puppy. Our lives were loud and messy, full of boys and dogs, questionable smells, and lots of love. But Powder had a superpower. Every person she came in contact with believed they were her favorite. My father-in-law believes Powder loved him the most. Our neighbor down the street was convinced that Powder would rather live with her than with us. Every friend who came to the house, young or old, would marvel at how much Powder loved them best of all. She would follow you from room to room, smiling and wagging her tail. Powder loved unconditionally and just wanted to be in your presence. After Ryan and I stopped crying during the phone call I dreaded making, he said he wanted to live like Powder. He wants every person he comes in contact with to feel like they are the most important person in the world. Wow. And that leads us directly into manure. It happens, and it's necessary. Powder's death, as manure-filled as it gets, led to a beautiful promise from a young man filled with sorrow. According to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, manure is refuse of stables and barnyards consisting of livestock excreta that produces or bears many crops in great quantity. As smelly and unpleasant as manure is, it is vital for growth. We all have to go through lonely, painful, manure-filled times in order to bloom. There's no getting around it. These seasons can seem to last forever, hijacking our hope for better times. I can't count the number of times a parent has said to me, "I just want my kids to be happy." Really? I believe that cheats them. We all know that difficult times are a part of life. Many of us are struggling with them right now. Instead, what if we teach our children about the rhythms of life? Nurture, growth, harvest, fertilization, recovery. By surrendering to the rhythms, we can be fully present to all life has to offer. We can accept the difficult times, knowing that they will lead to growth. We can celebrate the seasons of joy and rest after their bounty. These rhythms are not only personal, but happen in our relationships as well. Each relationship has its own rhythm, sometimes close, sometimes more distant. Our relationship with the divine also has its own rhythm. Times of oneness, and times when you're not sure God is there at all. It's like a breath. We can often be completely unaware of it unless we're attempting to catch it. I learned about these rhythms of life by watching my grandfather struggle with alcoholism and depression, but finding solace from his demons in God's creation. Somehow the life cycle of crops regulated his strained breathing and soothed his anxious mind. He found comfort in the rhythm. And as a result, he and God produced delicious fruits and vegetables together. I'm reminded to honor these rhythms of life in today's parable. As much as I want the pain of powder's death to let go of its hold, seasons cannot be rushed. Our souls will soon burst with brilliant color and new possibilities. In the meantime, we must be present, recover, and listen for the still small voice of our healing God. Amen.